When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport, brought to you by Zwift. Find your fun with the cycling app where fun is fast. I'm Graham Wilgos, talking stage 17 of the Tour de France with Sir Bradley Wiggins.
Yeah, you all right?
I'm all right. You all right?
Yes, good, thank you.
Good. Do you want to introduce our guest?
Bernie Eisel.
Welcome back,
once
Bernie.
Again.
Thanks for having me again.
Thanks for coming back on. Murray to Saint-Lary-Soulan with a summit finish on the Col du Portet. This afternoon, boys, what did you make of it from the bike, Brad, first of all?
It was a pretty boring start because of the wind, really. And it was a long, long way on the flat until we hit the climbs. Cav scored points in the intermediate sprint right behind Michael Matthews, which was good. It took 1 point away from him,
yeah,
which he needed to because that gap's down to 37 points now. And then we hit the climbs and it was just an elimination process from the back, really. And UAE did a fantastic job today, actually. UAE actually isolated Carapaz,
yeah,
which we expected to be the other way around.
That's the first time I've really seen UAE properly taking it on, yeah, properly drilling it on the front with let's finish this today attitude.
Yeah, and I think that came from, do you think that came from Pogacar? Do you think he said, like, I want to win today? Because I saw Mauro Ginetti at the finish and he looked like a dog with two he was happy as anything. And Mauro, I can see Mauro's ego that he would have come from him today, would you think?
Yes, I think so, because I just want to put a mark on it. It's like, I'm here to win this tour. And makes it easier for the team also the next days. And we have seen also Mark Hirsch being back, not probably at his best, but really strong riding. And his team just took it on. And Brent McNulty did a good job. And it was great to watch. And also the first time they really had to do something in the mountains, because otherwise it was the other teams taking control.
We've spoken a couple of times about whether or not UAE have a particularly strong team around Pogacar. Just because he seems to do so much on his own. But today, is it fair to say they are actually the strongest team in the race on the mountains?
Yeah. Rui Costa punctured on the Perisord, actually, never really got back. So, yeah, I mean, but they Rafał Majka did the biggest job today, I think. And Tadej then attacked, but actually he didn't ride away from him as much as I thought he would today. The other guys, Carapaz was as strong as I've seen him all race.
Yeah. He was bluffing, wasn't he? He was there grimacing away. He wasn't taking any pulls on the front. It was Vingegaard and Pogacar who were sharing the load up the Porte.
Yeah, I mean, I saw them exchanging words with about a K and a half to go. Tadej sort of said to him, come on, what are you doing?
We saw him gesticulating,
yeah, and
didn't
then
you?
He attacked, didn't he, through the tunnel?
Yeah.
And it was all a bit late in the day.
I
get the impression he was just going for the stage win more than anything.
Yes, I feel like at this point, Ineos need a stage win to salvage their tour.
And I wonder, do you think, Bernie, that Tadej at one point was going to let him have the stage, or do you think, and he got pissed off and went for it himself? Because I didn't really see the final 500-600 meters.
No, it didn't really look like this, and I think he also wanted this stage because it means a lot for the team and the sacrifices the team did for him to make it happen. It is more like I was again impressed by the race knowledge and how Tadej actually rides, because of course it comes also from the car, but he stayed calm. It's like, guys, I have the yellow jersey. I have 5 minutes lead, even over 5 minutes. You have to drop the other guys because you're probably not the best time trialist. Kelderman is back there and other riders. So you better do the job. And I think that is brilliant. And again, shows how strong he is and how much he can actually think being on the limit.
Felt like a bit of a statement stage as well. Pogacar's called it the hardest stage of the tour. Mm. Felt like it was being in the yellow jersey as well.
And it is a beautiful climb. It's a beautiful stage.
I mean, being up there at the finish,
yeah,
absolutely sensational, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Worth going up there.
First stage that Pogacar was taken actually wearing the yellow jersey too. Was that important to him?
Yes. Well, you can see it on the pictures they took of him, and he's showing the jersey and just nearly ripping it off his body.
Yeah.
And that just, and he gave everything. We saw him live there collapsing in front of us. It's just, he wanted that stage. He wanted that stage win.
Yeah.
You know what the odd one today was poor Connor Swift having to ride on the front.
For Arkea. There's only three left, aren't there?
Yeah,
for
and Quintana got dropped really early on that climb.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit strange, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, he does. But at the same time, it's great to watch, actually, Quintana. Nairo never gives up. He's like, he's kind of smart, not even having, actually, I don't think he has the best legs. He's like, he's, I would even say he's just average. But he's showing himself and keeps drawing. And he knows, I have to get away before to get those points. And marked by Wout Poels.
Uran lost his legs today.
He did.
Yeah.
He hung on for as long as he could. But that last 5K where Pogacar and Vingegaard really lit it up.
Where's that leave him on GC? Because I didn't catch the GC standards at the finish. Fourth.
At least in fourth.
Dropped off the podium, yeah.
So Vingegaard.
Carapaz second.
Yeah. No, Vingegaard second, then second. Carapaz, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we go any further, let's just hear how Carlton Kirby called those last few hundred metres on Eurosport and GCN Plus.
Sitting on his back wheel now, and they're not going to do any more work. You can be sure of that. It's all down to Richard Carapaz. He looks over his shoulder and sees Vingegaard getting back in here and decides to try and kick again. Pogacar, though, is being held out of the wind here and just waiting to kick up a storm at the very end. I don't know what words will pass between them once they get over the line here, but I think there will be choice ones. Let's put it that way, shall we? Oh, 200 and more metres to go. There is a final turn, don't forget. It's a left-hander just before the line. And so you get a very, very late view of it. Now, the road does waver just a little bit, as you're seeing right now. No wavering for Richard Carapaz. He just had to turn it on, pour it on, if you will. But now they're all three back together. Vingegaard's got himself back in. He's going to be livid as well. But what can a young man do at a moment like this? Let's see. Pogacar picks himself up. Plods back down into the saddle as well, just almost faking the attack here. Oh, and he's going to go round him, I think, screen from us. Yes, he does. There it is. Well, as soon as Carapaz took a look over his right-hand shoulder through the left, came Tadej Pogacar, and he's going to win the day. Vingegaard's on his case, but here's the line. It is all over, you might say. Oh, look at that. See this? I own that. I own the day. I own the field.
I just want to linger a little bit longer on that Carapaz bluff, chaps, because you saw him not doing any work whatsoever. Would that have spurred Pogacar on?
Have you
been in that position before where someone else isn't doing a pull?
Well, I think that's
really
what
thought,
I said to you. Yeah, that's what I said. Pogacar's clearly got, you know, put the wind up him a bit. You could see that because I could see him chatting to him, and I'm not sure what the tactics were, because then he attacked and they got rid of Vingegaard.
Yeah.
And then it all sort of eased off again.
And then Vingegaard made his way back on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's sort of, I thought if he's, I don't know if he was trying to win the stage rather than trying to win the tour. Because he would have gone a lot early on the climb, I would imagine.
Yeah. The Paris-Sword, as a segue out of today's race, always makes me think about you and Nibs battling it out in 2012. That was the last climb of the day, wasn't it, in 2012?
Yeah, we came down into Luchon.
Yeah.
And then the last stage, when we finished in Périgueux, is it?
Périgueux.
Oh. We went back up the side we went up today. Yeah.
Fond memories?
Yeah, I mean, I love the Périsword. You know what? You know, the Périsword's quite synonymous for British riders. Robert Miller attacked up there. Lucho Herrera, I think it was. I can't remember. I think it was Delgado. Yeah. I can't remember who it was. And then won the stage into Luchon.
Yeah.
Tommy Simpson, one day in yellow jersey at the Tour de France, started in a mountain time trial at Luchon and went up the Périsword. So it's quite steeped in history. Special mention to Phil Griffiths. Actually, I saw Phil Griffo today, and it was good to see him in Luchon at the roadside. He shouted my name. So it's good to see you, Phil.
Bernie, what did you pick up from the roadside today that we might have missed?
I think you haven't missed much, but it was great entertaining again. It's like, I was a bit surprised that we didn't see many more attacks at the start, but I think it was also everybody knows the tactics, and it was like, today is a day where UAE actually could control it. There's not much riding in the mountains, so let it see how it unfolds. And like Bradley keeps saying on a motorbike, they never take the control, they just let it flow, because it seems like the day is really happy to make the race hard, make it fast. He serves around, and he's brilliant on the bike. It's amazing to watch him.
Did you see who helped block the road at the start as well?
Cavan
de Koenig.
They controlled it early, didn't
they? Cav was like telling Movistar what to do.
Was he?
Yeah, he was gesticulating. Block the road, lad.
Just means he's back at his best.
Here's one for you. Pogacar, we saw him early doors sweeping up the KOM points that were left. So is he looking to take home three jerseys again?
No, he's
not that
greedy.
The climbing jersey, the white jersey and the yellow jersey.
No, he's never that greedy. He's a nice guy.
You don't think? I think he might be going for the polka dots as well.
Did Walt Poels hold on to that?
Yeah, but it's close. Poels is on 78, Pogacar 67, Quintana 66, and then Mike Woods 60, also 66. Sorry, and Wout van Aert on 64.
Yeah.
So conceivably, with one final mountain test to go tomorrow, you could see Pogacar doing it, taking the points again, and coming out with no more points left to win.
Could look like that.
Could look like that.
I mean, I think it will just play out on the road.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll purposely go out to do it.
And there's another 40 points at the finish line tomorrow for him for the polka dot.
Yeah.
It's a bit like when Froome won it. It just happens on the road, I think.
Yeah. Just a byproduct of the racing. On Froome's old team, then your old team, Ineos have got one stage left to salvage something. Tell me how you saw it today, because Tao dropped off early. Then we saw
Dylan van Baal drop off.
Van Baal, and then G dropped off.
Kwiatkowski
as well.
Went really early.
Yeah.
On the Pyrosaur.
Yeah.
And he's,
what does that tell you, though?
Well, it doesn't live up to what Gabriel Rash was saying before the tour about seeing the old Skytrain back, was it? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I watched. Xavier Zandio, who's the DS in the car with Rash, were right next to me when Tao was getting dropped, and they were like laughing at him, eating an apple. And I said, I went to Zabby through the window. I said, "Is he?" And he just like, he gave that like smiling Zabby. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know. They're kind of sort of smiling at and accepting that some of their riders aren't up to the standard. That never used to be like that. Sean Yates come off afterwards, and he would want answers as to why you didn't live up to doing your job.
Yeah.
You know, and there seems a mentality change a little bit in that there's very accepting that the DS is, I don't know, it's a very strange thing. Plus, I used to race with those guys, so they're very, they seem like riders still. They're not authoritarian.
Mm.
And I don't know, what do you make of it, Bernie? Like we were saying the other day, they're going to have some sort of shake-up this winter, aren't they?
You always would expect it to say, okay, it's not running smooth, so what can we do? And we both know Dave really well. It's like, everything will be looked into it. I don't see a big drama. It's like when we look back, Garand was the leader, crashed out.
Yeah, they've had to change their plan.
And he's still fighting through. It's like, chapeau to him. Tao is probably not at his best, and you can see it. It's like, he's still Tao, but he's just not enjoying himself being... It is hard for the riders, and the pressure just builds up, and it's probably also that thing is like when you say... A sports director will ask questions, but probably not in that moment when it's you're ready on your hands and knees. And
no,
just okay, there's nothing else you can do at the moment.
Tao seems a world away from the rider we saw at the Giro last year.
He had a difficult season coming up to this with crashes and things, and he came into great form at the Dauphiné.
Yeah.
And he's crashed in this race. I actually think, you know, he'll go to the Vuelta maybe, and I think he'll have a great race there. He could win the Vuelta.
Mm.
Let's not underestimate Tao at this stage. He's, you know, he's a class act.
Castroviejo, the only rider seemingly to cover himself in any glory apart from Carapaz today, he was there at the end on the Porte driving for Carapaz. At that point, you sort of thought, well, Carapaz must be feeling great and something could happen here, because we've seen it before with Quintana in 2018. He put so much time into his rivals just in the last 6 kilometres of the climb. I think Carlton was saying on commentary, he turned over a 3-minute deficit just in the space of the final 6Ks. So were we looking at that thinking, all right, or were we looking at that thinking, Pogacar's still got this?
I think it's Pogacar.
Yeah.
It's great to watch Castroviejo, most valuable player in the Giro, again today. A bit swapping around with Kvyatu. If Kvyatu has a bad day, just Castroviejo takes over.
Castroviejo did a great ride today.
Elsewhere, Jumbo-Visma. Stephen Krauswijk abandoned the race after no more than 30 kilometres today. We understand he was sick on the rest day and hasn't managed to recover. So that's Jumbo down to three riders, is it now? Four riders. Brad, we're sponsored by Zwift, the cycling app, where fun is fast but also unlocks performance. I'm a big fan getting on there with the boys, David and Stephen, as you know.
Yeah.
I've been exploring a few of the training plans.
Oh yeah, tell me about it.
Well, training plans on Zwift help you improve every single time. I'm currently on board with G's training plan. Geraint Thomas, fun is flying uphill.
I bet that's a tough one.
It's not easy.
This workout focuses on improving your muscular endurance, a pillar of any great time trialist like you, Brad, mountain climber or stage racer, to help you deal with hard surges and improve your ability to fly uphill.
Well, that's quite good, Graham. And do you find it's helping you improve?
Helps you improve just because it's so easy to use. And if you want to find out just how simple that is, there's a special offer, a 7-day free trial. Find out more, download the app today. Brad, you described one rider today as like watching a pigeon dying in Leicester Square.
Yeah.
Talk us through that.
Julien Bernard, son of the great Jean-François. I mean, I don't know. It was Bastille Day, wasn't it? He was trying to get across to the move, and he just got caught in no man's land into a headwind, and he wasn't really going anywhere. And his team manager came up, Kim Anderson, and said, "Look, just shut up, mate. You're not going to get across."
Do we think we might see a Frenchman do it on Bastille Day? We saw four of them in the early break, six riders in the break.
Never. I don't think there's any Frenchman in this race looking like winning anything at the moment. And it's sad because at one time you had like Sylvain Chavanel, Thomas Vauclair. You know, you had some great riders, Didier Roux over the years. And at the moment they're very thin on the ground. And I was talking to one guy from ASO at the finish about it, and there's a worry.
Mm. Perez, it looked like, might do something on that final climb. He had the gap going into the slope.
Yeah, actually, I got a big fan in this tour of Anthony Perez because he helped Guillaume Martin to really make a difference to the stage to Digne when it was really cold. He was the only guy really pushing, most competitive today. And that shows his class, but I was also impressed. And I think we will see probably a little bit more by Gaudu tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because it seems like he didn't plan it perfectly, but he found his legs. So he lost a lot of time in the first 2 weeks, but he's still there, hobbling around, and did a great ride today. And it seems like one mountain day left, so the motivation is there, definitely also for Gaudu, for probably a top 10.
Yeah. They mentioned this on comms as well. Last time, a Cofidis rider won a stage at the Tour. 2008.
Yeah, Sylvain Chavanel,
yeah. So it's been a long time coming for them. Cav Watch came in 34 minutes, 10 seconds down. Comfortable for him today in the end? Well inside the time cut?
Yeah. He was going really strong up the Pyrrhosaurid when I passed him. Had all his teammates there again. There's no worry about him getting through this tour now.
Yeah. So one more day through the mountains and then, well, could be looking at a little bit more history.
Going through the mountains is probably easier than feeling the pressure on his shoulders.
Do you think so?
For Friday.
Do you think today would be easier than waking up on Friday morning and thinking, okay, today could be history?
Yes, definitely.
Brad, would you agree with that? Or do you think Mark's just going to take that as a, this is just another stage for me,
I think just
another
just stage, it as another stage
where I have to be in position at the end, or I can be in position at the end,
yeah,
and I can get something from this?
No, I think Paris will be the one for him. That'll be the one that he really, winning a fifth there, I think means more to him.
Yeah. Let's talk about tomorrow, which comes before Cav can have another crack on the flat. Pau to Lutzardeden, 129.7 kilometres. Final day in the mountains, as we said. Two Category 4 climbs to get us warmed up. Then two all-category climbs to finish. The Tourmalet and Lutzardeden. A climb made famous by Lance Armstrong's efforts in 2003.
Yeah, I remember Dagoetter Lauritsen went up there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some great winners up there. I can remember when I was a kid watching Greg LeMond and Miguel Indurain going up there. Greg was world champion, cracked. Indurain won the stage, swirling his arm in the air. So it's a historic finish in the Tour. Mm. And tomorrow's going to... I think we'll see the same players. I can't see anyone else doing anything.
It's backloaded again. So you've got the two climbs, two HC climbs in the last 60Ks. Bernie, do we think it's going to be another GC finish?
Depending a little bit on Pogacar, if he's happy now with it. But at the same time, we've seen Richard Carapaz today going really well. So I think they know tomorrow, 130Ks, all in. And it's what we were hoping for so many days. And probably see an alliance from somebody else. And Rigo lost a little bit of time. Probably thinks this climb suits me a little bit more. Then I was surprised, actually, to see Rigo losing time today. So it's going to be definitely 130. Just worried they're going to put a grid up like they did 2 years ago or 3 years ago to make them start at 130. That's a short stage.
That's more or less Rigo's deficit as well. He's a minute and a half behind the podium, more or less. So, I mean, it's not impossible.
No, nothing is impossible. And that's I spoke to Martin Fernandez, lead TS of UAE, and he said, look, the day won the Tour last year on the second last day, it's not over till we cross the line in Paris. And that's what many riders think. Podium is also not sealed yet for these three riders.
There's going to be a lot of teams looking at tomorrow. Not just Ineos, but there's going to be a lot of other teams looking at tomorrow as the last chance to win a stage. So could we be seeing a far more chaotic stage tomorrow than we usually might?
Well, I don't know about it. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, once it goes uphill, you can only do what your legs can do. Yeah. There's a reason that people ain't won a stage, because their legs are gone.
So many teams, so many riders are tired. So many in last chance saloon. You can't see one or two going ahead and taking a march in the breakaway tomorrow, holding to the end.
Not anyone that we haven't already seen.
Yeah.
Because it's too hard.
Yeah. Bernie?
I fully agree, because it's like a shitty bar fight when they're punching the air and not hitting each other anymore. And this is the third week. You absolutely on your hands and knees, and you can land the right one and you're up there.
Talking from the point of view of a domestique, Bernie, at this point in the race, how are you feeling when you've given all you've got to put your leader in position and you've got one more mountain stage left to go?
You always look to see the AlphaTauri when you get over the last one. That's the only thing that keeps you going. That's it.
Will there be a sense of relief for a lot of people tomorrow evening when the stage is done?
Yeah, definitely. And there's definitely some beers they're going to drink tomorrow and then going into the next stage. But it's getting over it and finishing the tour is everybody that what they're fighting for. You never give up the tour.
Yeah. And Brad, as a yellow jersey holder, Pogacar, how's he going to be approaching tomorrow?
Same as every day. I think he's extremely confident. He knows he's the strongest in the race. And he's just got to focus on tomorrow.
All right. Well, we will wait to see. We will leave it there for now. Thank you both. Thank you, Bernie.
Thank you.
Brad, thanks again, as ever.
Nice one.
That's it for this episode of the Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport, brought to you by Zwift, the cycling app that makes training fun, because fun is fast. Thanks too to our producer, Pete Burton. You can follow Eurosport on Twitter at Eurosport_UK. Plus, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. Download, subscribe and rate us wherever you get your podcasts. From me, Graham Wilgos, it's goodbye. Brad, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yep.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.